Hi, this is Rabbi Fine, and together with Rabbi Bazak, we present to you the Dadding Podcast, Dadding being the art of being a dad. So join us as we discuss, we laugh, we experience what being a dad is all about, the Dadding Podcast. Welcome back to the Dadding Podcast. I am Rabbi Fine.
And I am Rabbi Bazak.
Yes.
Nice. Two rabbis laughing meaningfully through the school day. Gary, what do we have now? We've done the school run, we've done wake up. We're now talking about post-school run. So here's the motion. You drop them off, whether you're the first parent or the last parent. You've done that, and now is the...
Freedom.
It's really
freedom. But you can now actually get on with the things in your day. You can now actually start. And now you can really do it. Of course, you can't ever...
You can't tell the kids that you are totally happy to have sent them off to school, but they might get the gist in school holidays. Or do you remember the home, can I say the H word? Can I? Homeschooling. Do you remember that? Homeschooling. Oh, do you remember that awful period?
COVID!
Well, we basically became teachers. Oh, it was awful. I genuinely...
Good for a day.
Yeah, I actually wrote a letter home to their mother, my wife, saying how awful they behaved in homeschool. The problem is she threatened to call the PTA, who's my mum. And then it didn't really help. Yeah, it didn't help. We tried to do like a school picture. The whole thing was just, no. Anyway, so
homes... You genuinely tried to do a school picture.
Yeah. We like did the whole, you have to get dressed. Did he do the getting dressed for homeschooling? Did he do that?
It started well. Yeah, it started well, but it's not quite. It's interesting. We've had. That means we had. You know, when I used to go to Winston Hill, I used to point out that when people ask how you were after that, 187 days with the kids, with seven kids. Not that we were counting. You know, we weren't counting at any point. 187 days. You had 187 days without the relief of the school run. Without the relief.
Oh yes, no school run.
Without the relief of the without the pressure of the school run, and then the relief. So you didn't have the school run, but you didn't get the relief at the end.
Oh, that's true.
Where you didn't have the kids anymore.
I think they should take like blood samples, at least blood pressure. That second, the last second of school run, versus kind of like you dropped it. Like not meaning you drop the kids off. I didn't say drop the kids.
Well, it depends. I feel it depends very much in terms of men. But dad, certainly in our family, dads and mums here. Meaning when I think
we can say it's a dadding podcast.
Yes,
I think we can.
Fun.
Yeah,
they're fun. So when I have dropped the kids off, I am done. That's it.
What do you mean you're done?
I am no longer a dad at that point. Yeah. I have finished my dad's responsibility because I compartmentalise. When I do the school run, I am now doing the school run. Yeah, meaning if somebody at that point calls me to sort out something work wise, learning or anything, it actually creates stress because I'm now not doing that. I'm now doing so. I compartmentalise. I create the school run and I do the school run, and then I've done the school run. Now once I finish the school run, that is it. Now the school is in charge of the kids. They are now the dad. I am no longer the dad. Now I am the man who works. Now I am the man who learns. Now I am the man who does whatever I do with my day. It doesn't make a difference. My wife, on the other hand, is a little bit different. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done as a dad. That's it. I drop them off at school. School are now responsible. My wife feels their school day as she's going through the day. She feels it. She's thinking about them. Contemplating them. She's...
What do you mean?
Yeah.
It's quite a bad question. What do you mean, like, if they're doing like history, she kind of like feels Victorian?
No. I don't mean that. I just mean they're on her mind. They're not on my mind. Not completely on my... Every so often they pop in, they pop out, but she's living. She's living their aspirations. She's living their life in school. She's not aware of it necessarily, but she's waiting for it. I mean, are you waiting for it, Daniel? Are you looking forward to...
My kids coming home?
No. You can get... Sometimes, you know, you get contacted by the school in the...
No. If the school contacts me, that's chutzpah. That's an invasion of privacy. Why would they invade my privacy by contacting me during the school day?
Especially not. What's about?
Absolutely not.
You don't know what it's about. It's
no.
It's normally not good, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I've gone through this before. I think there's certain things that you have to bear in mind. I'm actually willing to give like a self-help session for this. You know, what a parent should do if the school contacts them during the school day. I've got my like top five. I'm not going to do them. I've got my top five. So number one is never second guess.
Right.
I don't know if you're... There are two types of parent. You've got the parent who basically expects everything to be great in swimming, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, if the school contact them, you know, there has to have been something like awful. And,
yeah,
you know,
awful.
It has to be awful. And then you've got the parent, they're kind of like happy-go-lucky. You know, they could be...
You never like them. You never like the teacher saying, I just wanted to get in touch with you. What do you mean you just wanted to get in touch with me? Why do I want you to get in touch with me?
Right.
I don't want you to get in touch with me unless...
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, the other parent is about happy-go-lucky, and maybe they were just calling me to find out who I am. I'm actually teaching myself. I teach a couple of hours in the morning. I try during the first kind of month of the school year to call up all the parents. But it's hilarious that they think, because they're two types of parent, right? So they think, like, what's he done? They're like waiting for the, when I ask them how they are and their family background and get to know them, they're waiting for the line of, you know, and your child has been scribbling over everyone else's work. They're waiting, you know what I mean? Like they're waiting for that.
Right.
So,
and it never comes?
No. Well, it can come, but not necessarily always.
What age do you teach?
I teach teenagers, six four.
Probably pleasant.
So, yeah, as it's up and down.
Yeah.
No, they're great. It's a real formative. I always say if you can get your kids in a safe environment when they hit 17, 18, especially the year after school, they can be in a safe environment, and not only safe physically, but safe meaning having people around them with aspirations, you know, people who want to grow and become real and genuine. That is the most important part of their lives.
Right. We digress.
Yeah, let's go. Anyway.
So you're getting contacted.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're getting contacted by the school. So I think rule number one, don't assume the worst. Why should you assume the worst? Maybe they did get top in their chemistry test.
and in fact, I would say even further than that, it's actually, we should really be contacting, we as parents should really be contacting the teachers. Just to create that relationship
on
the good footing, right? Is that even worse?
Yeah, it's good. I think what you said before is very, very true. I'm just going to reverse some of it. Homeschooling was tough. But at the end of the day, school does, cliche or not, begin at home.
Right.
Jewishly, even, we never had a school system formally for hundreds of years. It was always the parent knows the child best and adapts education best according to the kid.
Right, which would always be ideal. Because, like we said, in schools, you know, you have to cater for the... You have to cater for the lowest common denominator, theoretically. Well, I mean, there is a concept of differentiation,
right,
that you look at the different children. But at the end of the day, you can never fully cater it for that child in terms of what they need, at the pace that they need, and giving them the tools 100%. That they need. It's very, very difficult 100%. To do that. So I do feel that having, as a parent, this is a true point, I do feel that having a relationship with the teacher is, I mean, we joke about the fact that we don't want to be contacted during the school day, because I'm not a dad at that time. At that point, I just want everything to be plain sailing smooth. But it is actually very useful to have a relationship with the teacher, because then, no matter what your kid gets in the test, yeah, your kid might not do as well as everyone else in the test, but you know that they're doing well, and you know that they're going up, and you know they're doing the best of their ability.
Correct.
Because you've spoken to the teacher.
Right, yeah, correct. Don't wait till parents' evening.
Yeah.
You haven't outsourced your parenting responsibility.
Yeah, because parents' evening, because there's only a certain amount of patience and concentration you can have at parents'
evening. Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Correct. I really want them to develop an app that basically tells you when each teacher is free. I don't mean during their day, I'm talking parents' evening. Yeah, parents' evening. No? I also want to do that for a supermarket, by the way.
Meaning?
I want to develop an app for a supermarket that you...
Go in when the counters are free.
No. When food is free. No, yeah. But you go in and you basically can see where everything is on the shelves. Do you know what I mean? You put on your app.
Don't they, the office. Don't they have like...
They do have signs. Yeah, they do have signs.
You've seen column two.
Yeah, it's
although
true.
You always ask. You always go, excuse me, do you know where the spaghetti is? They're like, in the column that says spaghetti.
In
the column that says spaghetti. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So now, the question is, when your child does get into trouble.
Yeah.
When your child does get into trouble, and you've got the phone call now, Yeah,
leave phone call. Do you still get phone calls in letters? Because at one point it was like letters home, emails, phone calls, texts.
We get a bit of both, to be honest. We get texts from my other boy. We get texts from one of the schools. You know, but it's normally about the whole year. The entire year has behaved absolutely awfully and has detention. Your child is one of them. Yeah. So we normally get quite a few of those. But you get your thing. So the question is, when your child has been naughty, who do you blame?
That's an important one. Meaning your child is an angel, right?
Obviously, it can't be him.
It has to be that he has been corrupted.
The truth is, you've got two. You've got the parents who just assume that their child is evil. Yeah?
Evil.
No, you do. You have parents who just like, oh, you don't understand what he's like. Oh, you don't understand what he's like. He is awful.
And do they
like,
tell that to teachers?
No, they don't. Well, they can't necessarily, but they. But amongst parents, we discuss it. But then you like see their kid, and you're like, your kid's not bad. Your kid's lovely. He's a sweet, lovely, gorgeous, beautiful child. Yeah, she's amazing. Why is she not? Yeah, she screams every so often. She screams. Okay, children scream. That's not the end of the world. They're shy. Okay, they're shy. Fine. But anyway, so there's the monstrous children. But we're not generally. Generally, our kid is a.
Angel, they're all angels. And if they did something wrong, it's someone else's fault.
Clearly someone
100%, can never be yours, right? Now, here's the other question, is the do you tell the kid overtly discussion? Do you know what I mean by that?
Meaning when they come home.
Yes, when they come home, do you tell them that...
We know what happened.
Yeah, we know what happened, exactly.
Did you do the, how was school today? Good. Did anything interesting happen? No. Are you sure? Are you sure? No, nothing happened. Did you perhaps get into trouble at all?
They got me.
Yeah.
I've got an alibi. You're right. So, what about, is there a difference in parenting in that? I mean, some parents decide, I'm not going to tell the kid. I mean, there could be like a really mature parent out there who basically doesn't decide to tell the kid, but decides to work on that thing with a kid. So yeah, let's say this kid...
extremely mature.
That would be very mature, right?
Yeah,
so the kid has been like, I don't know, not including people during break. Mm-hmm. So the parent may not tell them, they may not tell the kid that the school have called home, but they may decide to work on kind of like general inclusion. That would be mature, right?
Yeah. I think that's actually quite a powerful approach to parenting generally. When we say you've got the... There's always the building that you have,
mm-hmm.
meaning the behavioural patterns that we impose
mm-hmm.
on our children that will hopefully structure the way they behave. But mm-hmm. then there's also the kind of value system.
Mm-hmm.
So the value system that we don't really build in them, we plant in them. We plant the seeds, we nurture them, we create the warmth by which that can grow. And then so here the behaviour, the building approach, which is what I would naturally do, which is what I think probably not the best thing to do is to engage with the problem. Is to engage with the problem and say, you are not allowed to not include people. You must include people. Okay, well, then they will surely learn the message to include people.
If you tell it to them harsh enough.
Yeah, if you're just shouting loud enough. Yeah. So that's the building approach. It can sometimes work that you impose it and impose sanctions which will hold it in place, etc. But generally speaking, the best way to do it is like you said, the mature way, which is, by planting that message, planting those values, working on those character traits that will develop the child into who they need to be with regards to this.
100%. Gary, can I end off with the best spelling test story ever?
Yeah.
Can I?
I'm actually quite excited.
It'd be embarrassing if you said no. So like this. So one of my daughter's friends was getting kind of a low 30 to 35% on spelling test, like consistently. And she's very upset. Eventually it hit 40-45%, but she went up to the teacher. She said, like, it's not doing well, everyone else is getting 80s 90s, you know. So the teacher kind of pinpointed the problem, and it was very simple. The girl had moved from Argentina not long ago, right? So
nice.
Exactly. So her first language was
Spanish.
Very good. Spanish.
I was about to say Argentinian was about to come out.
Spanish is Spanish, right? So the teacher did, you know, what good teachers should have done. And she said, look, it's not about world record. It's about personal best. It's about progress. Fine. The kid wasn't buying it. Now, I'll tell you why I know this, because you're thinking, like, it's a private conversation, right? The next week, and my daughter, here's the organized one, uber organized, she comes home and she's...
The 10-year-old mother,
basically, yeah. And she is... You can say that today. But anyway, the 10-year-old mother... And she is like poring over this spelling test, like studiously, assiduously, like looking over it. I'm thinking like, what are you doing? Just like read the words. Now spelling tests are normally words that you've learned during the week. You know what I mean? Like, they're not technical chemical terms. And she's like reading them and kind of like stumbling over them. I look closer. The teacher has given the entire class a spelling test in
Argentinian.
Not Argentinian.
Oh, Spanish. I don't believe it.
Spanish. Yeah, Spanish. Giving the whole class a test in Spanish. Isn't that great?
Brilliant.
Now, I hope that girl came top of the class. I really do.
If she didn't, it would have been very
funny. Actually, yeah, no, yeah. But that was a way of the teacher saying, look,
brilliant,
you know, yeah, brilliant teaching. You can all excel. Just have to find the thing that you can excel at.
Please God, we should all have teachers like that for our children.
Well, yeah, not that they teach in Spanish.
No, not necessarily in terms of the actual term, in terms of the actual content, but in terms of the actual creative thinking to be able to nurture not just the intellectual development of your child, but the actual emotional development of your child as well.
Brilliant. You've been listening to the Dadding Podcast, two rabbis laughing meaningfully throughout the school day. And next on our agenda is not wake up, not the school run, not the post-school run. We are doing supper time. You've brought them back from school. It's now family supper or supper routine and everything that comes with it. This Dadding Podcast was brought to you by Seed, providing life tools for Jewish families. For more information, for inspiration, for events, or just to get in touch, please visit our website www.seed.uk.net.